Last part of our service tonight, we've entitled What We Can Learn from Dave's Life. And I'm going to summarize it, and I'm going to summarize it like this. Life is a series of choices, and the choices that you make determine the kind of life that you have. I'm going to mention three tonight. First one is this. When you are served up a lemon, you have two choices. You can become bitter, or you can add a little sugar to it and make lemonade. When Dave had his car accident in 1988, it was a lemon. He could have become very, very bitter. He could have said, "Hey, I'm 29 years old. I'm in the prime of my life. God, why did you let this happen to me? Why wasn't it somebody else? Why couldn't somebody else have this car accident that would keep them in a wheelchair for the rest of their life?" He could have got mad at God. He could have got mad at his family. He could have got mad at the world. And he could have let bitterness take over his life and lived his life with a sour disposition, a sour taste, a sour testimony. But the Dave that we knew didn't do that. The Dave that we knew said, "Okay, God, I don't understand it. I don't understand why, but I know that nothing happens unless you allow it. And I know that you must have a purpose in my life for this accident. And I know that you're going to work it out for good. So I'm going to add some sugar to this lemon that you've served up in my life, and I am going to make the best of it." Now, Dave wasn't perfect. Some of you hinted at that in your testimonies. There were times, I'm sure, that when he got a little bit impatient and tired of the circumstances that God put him in. I'm sure there were times that some of you heard him ask the question, "Why? Why, God?" I'm sure there were times that Satan tempted him and said, "Dave, you have a right to be mad. God wasn't fair with you. You have a right to be bitter." But we didn't see those times in David's life. Some of you probably did, but we didn't see him here. What we saw here was a man that was caring, a man that was kind, a man that was loving, a man that was helpful, a man that was friendly, a man that liked to have fun, a man that liked to tease, a man that was as sweet as any person I know. So when life serves you a lemon, you have two choices. And we can learn from Dave's life that when a lemon comes into our life, what we need to do is add a little sugar to it and make lemonade. Here's the second thing we can learn from Dave's life. When we have obstacles in our life, we have two choices. We can make them unmovable mountains that can't be crossed, or we can make them stepping stones to new heights. Everything that Dave did, he had an obstacle. You know that, you that are here that helped care for him. He had to have help to get dressed. He had to have help to get out of bed. He had to have help to get into his wheelchair. He had to have help to do anything that he set out to do. He had to have help anywhere that he wanted to go. It would have been easy for him to say, "Hey, it's too hard. It's too much trouble. It's not worth it. I'm just going to stay in my room. I'm just going to stay in my apartment. I'm just going to stay in my own little world. I can't do anything with fighting a big obstacle, a big mountain, this disability that God's let come in my life, and I'm not going to try anything." But that's not the Dave that we knew. From your testimonies tonight, he made his obstacle a stepping stone. That's why he was at church every Sunday. The only Sundays that he went here was when he was sick or when your ride wasn't working. And as Larry said, one of the things that's going to stick with me is his faithfulness to come to God's house. We have no excuse. I don't know how many times I said this to Brother Clint. Every time I see Dave, I'm reminded I have no excuse for not being in God's house. That's why you saw him at the farmer's market. That's why you saw him at the mall. That's why you saw him, John, going 35 miles an hour down 3rd Avenue. He said, "Hey, I may have a hardship, I may have an obstacle, I may have a disability, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to make this obstacle that I have a stepping stone." And then number three, when we realize that we need God, we have two choices. We can come our way, or we can come God's way. Our way says, well, I'll be good. I'll live a clean, decent, moral life. I'll be good to my family. I'll be good to my neighbors. But I'll remind you tonight, friends, that the Bible says all our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. We might say, hey, I'll be religious. I'll read the Bible. I'll join the church. I'll get baptized. I'll take communion. But I'll remind you tonight that the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our way may say, well, we have a loving God. A God that loves the world so much that even though I know some preachers preach from this Bible that there's a hell, even though I know some preachers preach from this Bible that God will punish sin, our way says, well, we've got such a loving God, he'd never send anybody to hell. A person like Dave could have said, well, God will feel sorry for me. He's already put this obstacle, this disability in my life, and surely he'll give me a pass to heaven. But the Bible says that God is a loving God, but he's also a righteous God, and his justice must be satisfied. And coming to church and being religious and thinking that God is such a loving God that he'll send nobody to hell is a lie straight from the devil. You see, when we face that choice of knowing that we need God in our life, we could go down our own path. The Bible talks about that path, says it's a broad path. And there's many, many people going that way, but that way leads to destruction. Now, the other choice that we can make is to come God's way. The Bible talks about that way. It says it's a real narrow path. It's a real straight gate. In God's way, there's only one way, and that way is Jesus. You see, when Brother Clint talked to Dave about receiving Christ, here's what he told him. He said, Dave, you're a sinner. And everybody's a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have come short of the glory of God. You see, Dave could have found somebody, even in this church, that he could have said, hey, I'm better than that guy. I'm more righteous than he is. And I mentioned this morning in my sermon, every single one of us can find somebody that we could hold ourselves up to and say to God and say, hey, God, look, I'm better than that person. I have more right in my life than that person. I'm gooder, if that's a word, I'm gooder than that person. Doesn't that get me a ticket to heaven? And that's why the Bible says in that verse that we shouldn't compare ourselves to one another, that we should compare ourselves to the glory of God. And the glory of God is Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, when you compare yourself to Jesus Christ and you look at him and compare your life to his, you have to say, I come up way short. I come up way short. Every one of us is a sinner. And the Bible says that there's a penalty for that sin. That sin is death. It's not physical death. God told Adam in the Garden of Eden, you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Adam ate the fruit. He didn't physically die the moment he ate the fruit. But what happened? When he ate the fruit, he got kicked out of the garden. He got separated from God. I mean, Adam was made just like all of us to fellowship with God, and when he disobeyed God and he sinned, God said, you got to go. You got to leave. And that's what the penalty of sin is. It's where God says, you got to go. You got to leave. You can't be with me anymore. That's the death, the spiritual death the Bible talks about. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel. When we were sinners, when we deserved no mercy or grace from God, he gave us both. He loved us. And he sent his only begotten Son to die in our place for our sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we believe that, then we can be saved. One of Dave's favorite Bible verses was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God wants to give every single person here tonight that gift. The gift of eternal life. If you're here tonight, maybe this is the first time you've ever been in a church. Doesn't make any difference. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard anything from the Bible. It doesn't make any difference. The Bible says that if we'd receive him, he give us power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The last time I saw Dave was last Monday afternoon. And I think it must have been the times when the family wasn't there. I know Brother Clint had already been there that morning. And when I walked into the room, he had this belt wrapped around his chest, and it was just shaking him like this. And they were pumping his lungs, and we couldn't talk while that was going on. So I just stood there and held his hand, and eventually it went off. And he had a mask on. He has oxygen mask on. And he motioned with his head for me to come closer. And I got down closer, and I could hardly understand him. And it sounded like he was saying, I want you to pull me up. Pull me up. Pull me up. And I went over to this side of the bed. He said, no. He didn't move his hand, but he nodded his head. Go back over on this side. He didn't say it, but that's what he was saying with his head. Go back over on this side. And it sounded like he was saying, pull me up. Pull me up. And I said, Dave, I can't pull you up. And he did his head like this. And I lifted up his mask, and I put my ear. Down to his mouth. And he says, I'm going up. I'm going up. And so when Brother Clint called me about 4 hours later, I wasn't surprised. Because he was going up. He was going to be with Jesus, his Savior. And Brother Dave is in heaven tonight, not because he was a good guy, as you said in your testimonies, not because he loved life, as you said in your testimonies, not because he was independent and never got discouraged. He's in heaven tonight because there was a moment in his life where he asked Jesus to be his Savior. And I know of no better way to honor my friend than to give you a chance to do the same thing. If you're here tonight, you're a sinner. You owe the penalty for sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God forever. And there's nothing you can do on your own to change it. The only thing that you can do to get to heaven, to see Dave again, is come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I believe that you died for me, and I want you to be my Savior. And if you're here tonight and you've never done that, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments that we've spent together. Thank you for the sweet, sweet memories we've shared together tonight of our friend. Thank you, Father, for the assurance that we have in our hearts that he's with you tonight. And Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that they would use this opportunity to come to Jesus, to confess their sin, and to ask him to be their Savior. Father, man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter. You said as many that will come, you will receive. And so I pray, Father, for those that need to come, that you would help them to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.